Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, there is a true story told about a young family in Texas that came into possession of a lion cub. And this family had it as their household pet, and it would come to and fro, and it was kind of cool to have a lion in your house, I guess. Until one night, they decided to go across the hall to a friend's apartment across the hall to visit with them, the husband and wife did, and they probably took along one of those baby monitors, right, so you can hear the baby in the nursery. If there's a problem, they come rushing home. Well, they were there for a while, then there were some strange noises coming from the nursery. And the husband and wife went home to find out that the cub had gone into the nursery and began eating fingers off of their infant son. Can you imagine how they felt? A lion cub in their apartment, kept as a pet with the idea that this was a good idea. They were simply didn't understand the seriousness of the danger they had placed their entire family into. Now this morning as our service began, you did as all good Lutherans do. You stood together and in harmony, you acknowledged your sin before God. You said words like, I, a poor, miserable sinner, and then that part, I've sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, my deeds, and I have not loved you with my heart. You know the whole thing. In fact, you didn't even have to look down because you have memorized the words. We say it every week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, same thing, I, a poor, miserable sinner, and it just keeps on going. I wonder at times if you really take your sin seriously. You act a little bit more like Britney Spears, oops, I did it again, and then you stand before the Lord and expect Him to give you the forgiveness that you long to receive. So I ask you, why don't we take our sins seriously? Now the first thing we need to do is define the word sin. Now if I was to have a questionnaire and pass it around, we'd probably come up with probably about 40 or 50 different ways of defining sin. But let me tell you, from a biblical perspective, if you found the Greek word for sin, it translates literally as missing the mark. Now, when it comes to missing the mark, let me give you an illustration. What do you do is you'd set up a target, one of those archery targets, those big bullseye ones with the bullseye in the middle, and you'd stand back at a distance, you'd take your bow and arrow, you pull it back and let it go, and if you hit anywhere but the bullseye, that's called missing the mark. But for you as a Christian, missing the mark is not living up to God's will. So what is God's will for you? God's will is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbors yourselves. Now that's passwords or secret communications for obey the first three commandments. Love the Lord your God, the heart, soul, and strength. You know, remember what I said? It's you shall have no other gods, not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and remember the Sabbath day. Congratulations, you got the third one good. You're here today. That's awesome. And then it's also the flip side, the last seven, dealing with honor your father and mother. And some of you are thinking, my mom and dad have been gone for a long time. Oh, and Luther would say, and all those in authority over you. Law enforcement? Did we speed coming here today? There's a good chance you broke the fourth commandment. Or the fifth, not taking someone else's life. You're good with that. I have never killed anyone, but have you hated them? That's breaking the fifth commandment. And then the sixth commandment deals with sex. The seventh deals with stealing. The eighth deals with the reputation or neighbor. And then your neighbor's house and his manservant, maidservant, all that stuff. The fact of the matter is you stood before God and you acknowledged to Him that I am a poor, miserable sinner because that's exactly what I don't do. And so you have missed the mark. You have not lived up to the calling that God has given unto you, and you make that same confession week in and week out. It gives me the impression that you really don't care. Do you really care? Are you serious about your sin? Now, an illustration I love to share, and I've shared it before, and act like it's new if you've heard it before, but it's about the traveling salesman's driving down the country road, and he sees this big barn with all these bullseyes on the side of it and an arrow stuck right dead smack in the middle. Remember that illustration? And so year after year he drove by, and there's always more bullseyes and more arrows. And so one day he decided, I'm going to stop by and I'm going to meet this great archer. So he drove in the driveway, went up to the door, knocked on it, and this old man, about 120 years old, comes to the door with his cane, and he says, "Can I help you?" And he goes, "I'd like to meet the archer that's done this," pointing at the barn. And the farmer says, "Well, I do that." He goes, "Can you show me how you do it? It's amazing." Farmer says, "Great." So he hobbles out of the barn and goes inside and comes out with his bow and arrow. And he goes back a considerable distance, pulls the string back and lets the arrow go. And it hits the side of the barn, but nowhere near a bullseye. So the salesman thinking, well, it must have slipped. And so therefore, he'll probably take another shot. And he turned around and the farmer's gone. And he comes walking out of the garage or the barn with a bucket of paint and proceeds to paint a bullseye around the arrow that he shot. That's how you and I live our daily lives. You see, God has His will for us, but then we say, you know what? Not so fast, God. I've got a better idea. This is how I'll live my life. And that's called sinning. I asked our confirmands, if you don't know, we have services on Wednesday night, last about 20 minutes or so. It's kind of a short service, no communion. And I preached this text to the kids the other night just for fun. And I asked them the question, why don't you take your sin seriously? Now, I want you to answer that in your own mind. Why don't I take my sin seriously? Why is it that every week it's always the same thing? I, a poor, miserable sinner, and the whole nine yards. Why don't you take it seriously? And one of the girls said, you know what? Because I know God will forgive me. So if all your sins are forgiven anyway, when you come back every Sunday morning and you confess your sins and I give you absolution by God's authority, your sins are forgiven, right? So if that's how it works, does it kind of give us a license to sin? Do we stand before God and say, you know what? I'm just going to sin. And as Luther said, sin boldly. So, if you're a student here today, why don't you just copy off the smart kid in class? Why go to the work of studying? Like the younger kids, that spelling quiz you got on Monday, don't worry about it. Just go copy off the kid next to you. Nobody really cares. Or, how about for you older kids, like you don't have to obey your curfew. Your mom and dad don't know squat anyway, so just stay out all night long if you want to. And drinking underage is not a big deal. Oh, and you as adults, go ahead and gossip about each other. It's juicy and we like to get the information out there. Why don't we do that? Why don't we just go ahead and sin all the more? After all, I sin. There's no thunderbolts and lightning that strike me down, so God doesn't care. If He cared, He would do something about it. And so therefore, He must not care at all. So the reality is what's my motivation? What should motivate me to change my sinful life? It reminds me of the no trespassing sign on a ranch in Texas. And under the no trespassing, the farmer has scribbled these words. Stop. I know you're thinking about crossing this gate, which is called trespassing, stepping over the line. What you should know, that is if the coyotes, the cactus, the mesquite, the heat, dust, or rattlers don't get you, I will. What is our motivation to stop sinning? There's times when you and I simply don't take it seriously. But then you hear the word of God today in the gospel. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. We all got both hands, right? Has your hand sinned and it's still connected? Not taking sin seriously. He says, do it because it's better for you to enter life crippled with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Oh, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. I only know one man in our congregation that doesn't have both feet, and he's not here right now. And so therefore, we must just not take it seriously. He says, do it. It's better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell. You see the problem? There are so often where we don't sever ourselves from the behaviors that draw us into eternal damnation. So often we just want to live with it. We're like the addict that says, you know what? Or the alcoholic, I can drink a little bit. It's fine. It's not a problem, Pastor. I got it under control. Or the addict that says, I only do it once in a while. Or the person that's kind of hooked on porn on the internet, it's like, but I only look at it when my wife's not home. And the sins we commit daily in thought, word, and deed, we stay connected to them. Now, I have to thank our DCE for reminding me of the title of the movie. It's the movie called 127 Hours. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's a true story about a guy by the name of Aaron Ralston. It was in April of 2003 that he went into Utah's Canyonlands National Park, and he befriended a couple girls there by the name of Christy and Megan, and he showed them this underground pool. And after swimming for a while, they parted ways, and Aaron decided to go back through this slit canyon where the flood water runs through. He was going down through, and he's rappelling off things, and along the way, he rappelled off a little bit of a ledge, and he had placed his weight on this boulder, and the boulder gave way, and how he fell down, that boulder trapped his arm between the side of the cliff and the boulder. He was literally pinned like a rat in a cage. He couldn't get away. And he thought for a while, and he was hopeful and yelling for help and all that stuff, but there was nobody around to help him. He's in the middle of nowhere. And so he took out his video camera to videotape himself to kind of keep his morale up. And as time went by, he began to think, well, I better ration my food. I better ration my water. And as the days went by, he began to think, this is where I'm going to die. And so he took out his pocket knife and he started trying to cut his arm off, but the pocket knife wasn't strong enough to take the bone. And so therefore, he kind of gave up. And the videotape at that time became very desperate, because he thought he was literally recording his death. He had tried to engineer a pulley system using his rope and some carabiners he had, but it wasn't working. He didn't have enough strength. The boulder was too large. And so therefore, he kind of let himself get to the point where, I'm just going to die. And then he decided that he would try something. So he took off his Camelback and his water hydration system and took the hose off and tied it around his arm with the carabiner. He tightened it down to the point where he had a tourniquet on his arm, and he broke his arm and then cut the flesh so he could release himself from captivity. And he began his trek down the canyon, and he rappelled off a 65-foot ledge before being discovered by fellow hikers, and finally he was given emergency care, and he lived. The connection to our sin is this: if we continue in what we know is wrong, if I don't shut the computer off when it's things I shouldn't be seeing or doing, when I don't stop the conversation that belittles someone else's reputation, when I don't live according to God's will in my life, I remain connected to something that Jesus himself says leads to eternal death. Why don't we take our sin seriously? What is our motivation to change? This morning, I'd encourage you to look no further than the cross of Calvary. See, this is what it looks like to be severed. This is what it looks like to be punished for the sins of the entire world. Not one of them were Jesus' sins. Not one. But he was willing to be severed from the Father for your forgiveness. You know, each time I stand before you and each time I announce to you, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, what should be on your mind is this: that Jesus loves me to the point where he's willing to suffer and die for all the times when I stay so connected to my sin, I'm unwilling to repent. I wished I could tell you this morning that when you leave here today motivated by the cross of Calvary, you'll never sin again. But you and I both know that within each and every one of us, there's that old Adam that dwells there. And Luther says we're supposed to drown that old Adam daily, and that dude can swim. He keeps popping back to the surface day after day. I struggle with my sin. I turn away and I go back to it. I turn away. The life in this world of the valley of the shadow of death is hard. But the reality is our loving Heavenly Father has given us the gift not only of absolution to announce God's forgiveness, a forgiveness that cost Jesus everything. But this morning as you gather at this altar, you literally receive the flesh and blood of Him who was severed for you. It motivates us to look at our life in a little bit different way. Not motivated by anything other than the fact that I know that God loves me. I know He sees good in me and He loves me for who I am, but I want to repent as a joyous response to what He has done for me. This morning as you leave this place, you descend back right into the valley of the shadow of death. I'm quite sure that you and I will stand here next Sunday. We'll say the same words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess you all my sins." But I want you to know that you're forgiven, that Christ died for you, and it cost Him everything. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human desires, keep you in His word forever. Amen. We join our voices as we